All right, we'll just take a hilariously ironic moment of silence.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are live at Convergence. We have Wade, who we picked randomly from the audience, as our guest. He's a Christian who likes Star Trek and more.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined by my co-hosts live at Convergence 2018. That's right, we are here, and I am joined, as always, by Tim Wick.
Hi, I'm hilariously ironic.
And Nick Glover.
I'm ironically hilarious.
You might have heard our previous episode with guest of honor, Melinda Snodgrass, who's also here with us. Hi, Melinda.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
So she's just hanging out with us while we interview our brand new audience chosen, well, chosen from the audience, I guess.
By random chance.
Our new friend, Wade. Hello, Wade.
Hello.
Get right in that microphone there.
Yeah, you want to...
There you go.
Like within an inch or two.
We had people in the audience put their names into a box, and Wade got chosen. So welcome, wonderful. How long have you listened to the show?
I basically only listen at Convergence.
Perfect.
That works for us.
That's all right. That's pretty much the same as us.
We should mention that this is today, basically. This episode here marks 7 years of Geeks Without God. We have never missed a week in 7 years, which means we have done this for at least 364 consecutive weeks. It's kind of nuts. So, Wade, tell us a little bit about yourself. Have you come to Convergence, obviously, before? How many Convergences have you been to?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I lost count. Several years.
Oh, excellent. What do you usually like to do at Convergence?
Oh, I go to a lot of panels and dress up as a Star Trek science officer.
That's excellent.
Is this the reboot, like more recent stuff
like
pattern
disco?
Of the...
Oh, yeah. The costume I'm currently wearing is from the Star Trek 09 movie.
Ah.
There we go.
Very cool. So what do you do for a living, if you don't mind telling us?
Oh, I'm a software developer. I'm also a part-time philosophy student.
Very cool.
Right on.
What kinds of philosophy do you like the best?
It's a complicated question, I know. Yeah. Well, I really like philosophy of religion because it asks like the really interesting questions like, does God exist? Is it rational?
No.
Even supernatural? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Done. Solved. Sorry.
Do you identify as an atheist or agnostic or as a believer? How do you identify?
I'm a Christian here to spy on you.
Oh,
ooh.
Cool. Right on.
Exciting. That's very exciting.
As a philosophy student, I'm supposed to understand both sides anyway. I'm always curious in how the other side thinks.
Sure.
Excellent.
Do you mind if we talk about your faith a little? We'll be nice. We're not going
to
like...
Yeah, we're not here to make fun of you.
Put you
yeah,
to the
we'll
question,
talk behind
as
your
it
back
were.
Later, not right now.
Yeah.
Nah, go ahead.
All right. Are you raised religious?
Mm-hmm.
And that's... The religion and background you're raised in, that's still the same branch or part of your faith now, or?
Sort of. I kind of consider myself a Maverick Christian. In fact, that's the name of my blog and YouTube channel.
Maverick Christian.
Yes.
I love that.
I don't subscribe to any particular denomination. I don't try not to have anything particularly limit my thinking. So, for example, when it comes to constitutional law, you know how we have that in God we trust thing in our money?
Yeah.
I don't like that. I think it should be removed from our currency.
Damn right.
I think the government should be completely neutral on religious matters. I think it's best to keep the government out of it.
Yeah, like it's because you don't want the government coming and telling your religion how to do stuff any more than we want the religion telling the government how to do stuff, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't understand how people don't see that the separation of church and state protects both sides equally. Like, we don't, like, people who are religious should support this more than anyone because they shouldn't want our government officials deciding what religions are okay.
They have the most to lose, it seems.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of myopic because when you think about it, it's like, okay, only our side can be the one in power. It's like, well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, have you looked at the statistics recently? You know, yeah. That might not be true.
Yeah. What? So when did you ever go through a period of time where you felt like you were questioning or mm-hmm. seeking like answers about your faith? And talk about that, please. I'd love to know more.
Well, it's one of the reasons why I like philosophy is because, like, you know, you're brought up with this religion, and especially God in particular. It's like, okay, is any of this true? I've basically just been told about it, and people have other different ideas. And so I, like, kind of thought about it, read up on it. And so in the end, I'm convinced that the evidence favors theism over atheism. Hmm. But, yeah.
What part of the evidence, if I can ask? I'm just, because this is something that obviously, like, this is the crux of the whole question, right? Is, does the, like, what side do you find it on? Like, what stuff convinced you the most?
All right, so what convinces me a lot is I believe that there is something morally wrong with torturing infants just for fun, and that it would remain wrong even if a baby torturer thought otherwise and killed everyone who disagreed with him. That thing is called objective morality, morality that holds independently of human opinion.
Okay.
I think it's very unlikely that objective morality would exist if atheism were true. I think it's very unlikely we'd be aware that objective morality exists if atheism were true.
Hmm.
And we don't need to, like, have this debate now or anything.
No.
But and you've considered that like there are benefits to being social, like even I don't want to say, like, less complicated animals than people are social and have mutual benefit for cooperation and that sort of thing. I mean, objective morality in some cases may just stem from cooperative instinct and mutual benefit.
Well, I think if you're, okay, I should probably clarify. So when I'm talking about morality, I'm talking about what you should and should not do. And even that needs to be clarified, as I found out when I discussed this matter with the atheist. So sometimes there are oughts that we use purely descriptively. So, for example, if you want to do well in school, you ought to study just means, as a matter of practical necessity, you need to study to do well in school. So in philosophy, that's called a hypothetical ought.
Hmm.
And there are other types of ought that aren't entirely descriptive. They're irreducibly normative, like when you say, you should not torture infants just for fun. Well, that sort of ought is not descriptive. You have some oughts that are nothing more than some entirely descriptive state of affairs, like, for example, animal behavior.
Sure.
Animals behave in a certain way. Then there's the other type of normativity where you ought not to do this. Hmm. And that moral wrongness is non-physical. You can't empirically detect it. It doesn't fit very well in an atheist worldview, or at least so I believe.
So what kinds of geeky stuff are you into?
Well, as you might have guessed, I'm sort of into Star Trek.
Yeah. Have you watched Star Trek since you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. I watched the original series. That was my first introduction to it. Then, of course, there was Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah. So if you have to choose, like, you can only watch one, like, franchise of the Star Trek, like, one of them, like, which one are you going to watch for the rest of time?
Oh, geez, that's really tough. So this isn't necessarily my favorite Star Trek.
Sure.
But the one I would rewatch would be DS9, just because that's the one I have rewatched the least.
Yeah,
I've watched TNG over and over again. I watched the original series over and over again. DS9, it was sort of a slow starter, and the series finale wasn't really very good, but there's a lot of really cool episodes in between, like in The Pale Moonlight.
Yeah.
That's probably one of my favorite ones.
I really appreciate that you took that from a really pragmatic stance, because I think that a lot of times when someone says, what would you watch for the rest of time, we tend to think, oh, well, this is my favorite one, which you've probably already watched a lot, and the end of time is a long time to watch that same shit over and over. So I think choosing
is
the
it,
one
Molly,
that you're not
do
as good,
you know?
I do, actually, objectively.
So here's, like, the real controversial question of the panel then. So have you been watching Discovery?
I have not. That's behind a paywall, so I don't.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah,
if you can get around that paywall, I don't know how.
Yeah.
Just saying, I've watched a lot. It's really great. I really like it. I think especially since you enjoy, it seems like you enjoy it in all the permutations, you know.
I think if you compare it to some of the other shakier starts to some Star Trek, it's actually maybe, like, one of the best first seasons of a Star Trek show, in my opinion. I mean, like, I went back and tried to watch DS9, which is my favorite. The first season of DS9 is a little shaky here
and there.
It ends really well. It ends well. But Discovery's solid.
My favorite new Star Trek show is actually, it's actually a bit weird because they don't call it Star Trek isn't the name. It's called The Orville. Has anybody heard of it?
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Yay.
The Orville's
that's,
good.
That's amazing to me
Orville.
That you come to a geek con and you go, has anybody heard of this geek thing?
I was playing on the audience. I was hoping you get a reaction.
That's the best part about Convergence is realizing, like, you genuinely want to know, has anyone heard of this? And 1,000 people are like, yeah, man. Like, it's amazing.
You're not alone. Like, that's if that's, like, the best part of Convergence. You're not alone, like everyone else.
Yeah.
Somebody, you know, your people.
And I just for a moment, I apologize, Wade, but because we have Belinda Snodgrass here with us, who has written for Star Trek, I was wondering, what is your opinion of Discovery and the Orville?
Yeah,
I love the Orville. I love it. I think it's some of the best Star Trek out there. And yeah, some of the jokes don't fly, but the humor and the humanity of the show, I think, is just delightful. I confess I only watched the first episode of Discovery, and my critique of it is much more as a professional in the business. I was not inclined to spend $9 a month to keep watching it because, I thought the script was all over the place, and the behavior of the officers was so peculiar.
That, yes.
And I felt so bad for the actors playing the Klingons because they were fighting their costumes, fighting their makeup, and fighting a made-up language. And so they couldn't emote, they couldn't act. And I just thought, as a producer-writer, I would never do that to an actor. And I said this on the Trek panel that we did about Measure of a Man. The show I wanted and that I would love to create for the franchise, I want to write about the people in the cracks, the people, the hairy muds who are going, oh, no, oh, shit, it's the Federation, oh, my God. And they're like the boot on their neck, you know, and they're sort of always up here, sort of like God.
Like an outer rim kind of thing.
And I wanted to do something about the rogues and the scoundrels of the universe, and instead of, once again, it's Starfleet, you know.
Star Trek Blake 7. I'd watch that show.
Yeah,
I'd watch that show.
That's the show I
want to
do.
Well, since fans are trying to be able to raise their own money to remake The Last Jedi, perhaps perhaps you could try to raise your own money to make your own Star Trek series. Oof.
But CBS and Paramount would sue me naked, so no.
So science fiction, obviously, is something you like, Star Trek specifically. Do you like other? Do you like horror? Do you like fantasy? Are there other genres that you're into?
I used to be into horror, less so now, though I occasionally venture into it.
Okay.
Like The Babadook.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was really amazing.
Do you mostly do visual media, like movies and TV, or do you like to read as well?
I like to read as well.
What kind of authors do you usually read?
Oh, geez. It's actually been a while since I've read a science fiction book, but I was really into Stephen King back in the day.
Oh. Word.
Well, yeah. There you go.
You're like the day being yesterday, yes, yes, very much into it back in the day. I'm trying to think of what I want to say. Do you ever read comics or anything like that?
I'm sort of going in the process. I'm mostly finished with Deadpool and Cable.
Oh, yeah.
This gigantic, big book.
Yeah, it's like Deadpool and Cable ran for 10 volumes, I think.
It's a really long time. It's an omnibus. So I think it contains every issue. It's like huge, big, and heavy. You could actually murder somebody with the book, which is, I'm sure, something Deadpool would appreciate.
But you objectively wouldn't.
It's the teleporter time travel badges they have on them and all that hijinks. Like, they're silly, fun, but good heart.
What did you think of Deadpool 2, since it had a lot of Cable stuff?
I love that line.
In the middle of reading it, yeah?
Yeah, it's I love Deadpool, and it's purely coincidence that I like him just because we have the exact same purely awesome first name. But yeah, I love those movies, both of them.
Great.
Okay, good.
Best mid-credit sequence ever.
Yes, very true.
I just want to circle back because I do have a question. So we're going to talk about objective morality for a minute. And you would call yourself a Christian, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you believe objective morality comes from a supreme being?
Short answer, yes.
Okay. Why do you deduce it comes from the Christian God?
Oh, and not some other.
And not some other supreme being.
Something we don't know about.
Yeah.
Because I'm Christian.
Okay.
So I believe, even if I were not a Christian, I would believe that morality comes from God. And then it's like, then after that, it's a matter of, okay, so which deity, if any, would be true? I suppose if I weren't a Christian, I would be a deist. I'm pretty sympathetic to deism. I'm actually pretty sympathetic to atheism. I'm sort of a skeptic by nature, and I could sort of understand that. So, for example, one of the things that I'm maverick about myself is I do not accept scriptural inerrancy. So if you were to pull out something, oh, what about this barbaric thing in the Bible? It's like, okay, well, maybe it didn't happen. I'm almost a non-interventionist sort of Christian. I'm sort of not theologically conservative. I'm not completely liberal either. I'm sort of a moderate.
So then if you can look at the Bible and think, well, maybe that didn't happen, but you look at the part about Jesus' divinity and resurrection, and that definitely happened?
Probably.
Hmm.
So you might say, okay, so how do you go about it? Well, if you apply purely secular grounds, you look at the Old Testament, secular scholars believe the the events, well, allegedly, if they took place, it all happened, you know, centuries before they're written. So it came out long after they're written. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go to the New Testament, they're written within a few decades and about the same location in which the events took place. From a secular historian's point of view, those would be more reliable. There's where you get more reliable information.
But at least it's a scholarly way of looking at it. I do appreciate that you're coming at it from a scholarly angle and not just like, well, because those ones make more sense to me. You know, I do like that.
I can also appreciate, it sounds like you're kind of acknowledging that there is influence from the context of the religion in which you were raised, so that, I mean, you said that the reason Christianity, the reason that God is because you're Christian, which is sounds circular when you say it that way, but really what I interpreted that as is, of course, that's your frame for belief, is mm-hmm. that's your background, that's why it's you've picked that one.
Yeah, maybe. It's kind of go step by step epistemologically. It's like, okay, where does morality come from? I think it comes from God.
Sure.
And okay, which God? Well, I'm Christian, so probably that one.
Sure.
Are you from Minnesota?
Yes.
Excellent. And where in Minnesota do you generally hang out? You don't have to say where you live or anything, but...
Oh, yeah, Twin Cities area.
Twin Cities area? Yeah. I think that... Have you, like, do you feel like the people in your life, do you have a good mix of people? Do you have a lot of atheists? I mean, in the nerd community, I feel like we tend more toward non-belief and atheism, or at least just apathyism, like, I don't really care, I don't think about it, than belief. Do you find that a lot of your friend circle are atheists or agnostics, or just people who don't care about religion?
Yeah, some of them in that category.
Yeah.
So I have a coworker, he's like my best friend, he's an atheist. Mm-hmm. He, like, sits right next to me, but he doesn't like to talk about... that religious stuff too much. I don't
sure.
interact with them too. I have to go online to see what the other rights think, or go to this convention.
Or your own blog, Maverick Christian?
Yeah, Maverick Christian.
Just.com? Is that where people can find it?
Dot com was actually taken by somebody else, so it's maverickchristian.org.
Maverickchristian.org, all right.
So wait, it's nonprofit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not making too much money on it yet.
It is time to get to our five questions, which you probably are familiar with just from having heard Melinda answer them, but we will start them off. Nick, do you want to start us off with question number one?
Sure. What conspiracy theory do you find most interesting or compelling?
All right. I like the flat earth theory. Not because I find it the most compelling, but because I find it the most interesting. Because it's like, you know, we've known about this for thousands of years, that the earth is round.
Yeah.
And I've only like looked into it a little bit, but you know, there's a lot of evidences that many of you probably know about, where it's like when a ship goes over the horizon, it seems to emerge out of the sea, and that's because of the curvature of the earth. Yeah. But they all have...
I heard about that.
Yeah. Yeah. They have all sorts of creative ad hoc hypotheses to explain away the evidence, no matter what evidence you present, they can find some way to doubt it.
That's true.
And that's actually true for a lot of science in general. There's something called the empirical indetermination of theory. So there's like an infinite number of theories that can use to fit any set of data, and that's why theories can't be strictly falsified. You can be pretty confident that they're false, but there's always going to be some way to save the data.
Sure. Unknown unknowns.
Yeah. All right, Tim, question number two.
Yeah, question number two. What is your perfect two-week vacation? Money is no object, but physics is a limiting factor. In your case, as a philosopher, metaphysics is also.
Any vacation which ends with me winning the lottery.
Ooh. Why hasn't anyone said that before?
Because as soon as that vacation's over, the next one starts, am I right?
You got too many damn loopholes in this question. Someone said, like, I'd buy a cruise ship for me and my friends. It's like, God.
We did say money was no object.
I know, but I never think big enough. I'm like, money's no object. I'll get tacos whenever I want and make my car payment. Like, it'll be amazing. We won't have to, like, add up things in the grocery store with a calculator. We'll just buy them. All right. Sorry, I'm like right on that cusp of Gen X millennial and just have a few very simple dreams.
And they all involve tacos. I don't know.
All right. Question number three, Wade. What's a movie or a book, if it's a movie you'll make Tim very happy, that
yes,
changed your life?
Oh, man. Not really sure. Oh, Because I know one of the options was TV show. If I had to pick a TV show,
you could pick a TV show.
It's usually movie or book. That is actually you can pick a TV show though. We will allow that because
I looked on the website before I checked, and that was sort of.
Oh, they're probably our old questions. We've had a few sets.
Yeah.
Well, no, on the website I think it says if you can't think of anything else, we'll accept TV show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tim, undermining us at every turn.
I wrote it like years ago. You had an opportunity to read it.
It does. It does say that. I have it written.
I mean,
of me.
I go to my website every day.
I'm gonna go change that and add fuck Tim to the end of it.
All right, so wait. Yes, you can choose a TV show. What is a movie, book, or TV show that has changed your life and why?
Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how? Mm-hmm. How?
What, shocking.
How did it change your life?
I think it was, well, because I'm not sure if any of them really changed my life, but that's probably one of the biggest influences because that's one of the things I think that got interested in me in science.
What were you? So before, how old were you when you started watching Star Trek?
Oh, geez, I don't know. It's like 5 or something.
Okay. So before that, you were just interested in like dumb kid stuff. And then like that.
I don't remember that far back, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah, that's cool. So it's almost like it's maybe so much. It's not that it changed your life, but like you don't even know what your life would be without it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then here you are sitting next to Melinda Snodgrass. That's pretty great, right?
I know. It's awesome. She wrote one of my favorite episodes.
That's
amazing.
That's a charmed life. Like that's great.
All right,
was it Measure of a Man or was it a different episode?
Measure of a Man. That was one of my favorite ones.
I can see that with your interest in philosophy.
All right. No doubt.
Question four.
What's the geekiest thing you've ever said or done?
Let's see. Well, it depends on how you define geek as a philosophy major.
It's how you define geek.
All right. Well, I will make my own stipulated definition then and include the nerd stuff.
Yeah.
So when I was in high school, my algebra teacher said, I will give extra credit the entire class if anybody beats me at this particular game. And so beating him became a minor obsession of mine for a little while. And so I figured out a way to beat him in that game. It was called NIM. It's this simple takeaway game that has basically 4 rows of sticks.
Yeah.
On your turn, you pick one row and take as many sticks as you want from the row, but you have to take at least one. Object is not take the last stick. So I was able to find a way to beat him, and I created a computer program that was a video game about it, and it had 6 levels of difficulty. I wrote it on my TI-86.
Awesome.
And strangely enough, I became a software developer. Who'd have thought that?
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super geeky. Like, that's
holy
that's
shit.
Solid.
I accept that as something geeky that you have done.
That's fantastic. And
we will not force you to come up with a different answer to that question.
All right, Tim, question 5, bring it home.
Question number 5, it always ends up being me asking this question, and I don't know why.
Irony.
But... what is your favorite hangover cure?
All right, so I've sort of been in a hangover once. I wanted to get drunk just to see what it was like, sort of on my bucket
Science.
List. Yeah. And so one of them, there's kind of two. One is prevention, drink a lot of water beforehand. Mm-hmm. And the other one, which is a guaranteed cure, it'll work almost every time, I guarantee it. It is called time.
Oh.
These goddamn philosophers and their jokes. Wade, it has been a singular pleasure. Thank you so much for letting us have you on our show, for putting your name in, for coming to our shows, and for being a fan at Convergence. Guys, give it up for Wade. That was fantastic. All right.
For those of you who did not get drawn, number one, we're terribly sorry, but number two, we have a heck of a time coming up with guests since we record every week, so we'll just be calling all of you.
Yeah.
So
we have your name now. That the back of that, you can't read it, but there's a legally binding contract.
Yeah,
that
says
you are on the guest list in perpetuity.
Whoops.
Perpetuity, that's the word. Wow. Hey, everyone. So this has been Geeks Without God. It was really nice to have you all here at Convergence 2018. And it is with great pleasure that I say this was the last episode we will be recording at the DoubleTree Hotel. we have a Patreon, as we mentioned on previous episode. If you would like to support us, go to patreon.com, Geeks Without God. Find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Most of our content we do post on Facebook. And please, write in your answers to our 5 questions. Send them to 5questions@geeksoutgod.com. We are always looking for more. I honestly think we have 2 in the hopper right now. And after that, I have a devious plan for maybe what we can do. If you guys want, we have... the subs. Patreon supporters get episodes ahead of time, so those of you who are listening to this at home and didn't get to go to Convergence, one, sorry you missed out. Two, I hope that this gave you some vicarious thrill of what it was like to be here at the DoubleTree Hotel. Thank you again to Melinda Snodgrass for joining us in the previous episode and this one. Thank you, Wade, and thanks to Tim and Nick for 7 amazing years of godless geekery.
You're super welcome.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Apropos of nothing, I was a philosophy minor in college. That was money well spent.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more geeks without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Where is your God now?